Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Four After, Mr. Wonderful here at your service. Andrew Sherman's pretty wonderful, too. He's our good friend. He's with us as well. And Andrew's an attorney. We love him anyway. But he's an adjunct professor at the University of Maryland and Georgetown University, where he teaches his charges all about franchising and licensing, which is also the title of the Bible of that issue, that subject, franchising and licensing. Now in its, I don't know, I guess maybe fourth edition by Andrew Sherman, Franchising and Licensing. Many of you have seen it out there. It's officially the expert document on franchising and licensing, and he's here to talk to us about it today. By the way, he's also a member of the law firm McDermott, Will & Emery. He's our good friend. Andrew, welcome back to the show.
Fantastic to be here.
It's good to have you here. Last time you were here, Andrew, we talked about franchising from the franchisee's standpoint, from the standpoint of people who actually own the little business, the franchise business in the local market, as opposed to the franchisor, which is the person or the organization that creates the franchise and then sells it or licenses that to the people out, the franchisees. And today, our focus is on the franchisor.
Exactly. From the small business owner and listener's perspective, franchising is of interest on both sides of the house. We talked a little bit last time, if you were thinking about buying a franchise, what should you be looking for? And in some cases, small businesses convert their businesses to a franchise. So if you've got a standalone business that you think would be better benefited by being part of a national brand and advertising, then you can convert. But today we're focused on the companies that choose to grow their business through franchising. So
right.
If you've got, you know, three store chain that does office supplies or does restaurants or does any of the things that you think might lend itself to growth through franchising, what are the kinds of things you need to know?
Exactly. And there are so many people out there, so many great success stories, aren't there, Andrew, of people who own one shop and over the years, and they just McDonald's is a great example of that, isn't it?
It's amazing to me. I mean, not only are there thousands of examples now, I think there's 6,000 companies just in the United States before you even get into worldwide franchises that grow through franchising. And all of them started modestly with one store, one concept, one set of customers, and they built it from there. And the thing that I'm really impressed by, and I'd love to get into some statistics this morning, nothing too heavy, just to give our listeners a context of how big franchising has become in the States. But the things I'm really impressed by are the number of new industries looking at the franchising as a growth model, from healthcare to financial services. You know, it's not just about fast food and auto services anymore the way it used to be 20 years ago.
Right. Well, give us some examples.
Well, there's companies that are contacting me all the time that range from, you know, women's health issues, financial services, specialty financial services. Was down in Tennessee earlier this week in a company that is looking to transform their entire industry through franchising that the industry's never seen it before. Have worked with Owens Corning on a number of construction, supply, and home maintenance franchises, again, in industries that had never been franchised before. A lot more business-to-business franchising. So anytime the company has an existing distribution channel, and that distribution channel could somehow perform better in a win-win type way with a franchise model, companies have been considering converting their current channel to a franchise.
Well, look at what didn't look at the courier companies
who have been. Courier is a great industry.
Yeah, who they bought up? What, mailboxes, et cetera, and what are some, what's the other one? There's a couple of them. UPS has
done it,
and FedEx has done it.
FedEx bought Kinko's, and UPS bought mailboxes, et cetera. And again, it's great integrated branding, a chance to create a more dedicated channel for those brands out there at the retail level. The other thing that excites me is, you know, as big of an impact as the Internet has had, and obviously it's been a huge impact in the last 5 to 7 years, people still like going into a small storefront business. They still like the human interaction. They still like, you know, being recognized in a store, and that's not going to go away anytime soon.
Well, as my friend Daniel Burris says, it's not either or, it's both and.
That's precisely, and one supports the other.
That's exactly right, folks. That's the attitude you got to have about the Internet and the traditional side of your business. Stand by, quick break. Right back with our good friend Andrew Sherman, the author of Franchising and Life. All right, folks, we're talking about the idea of becoming a franchisor. What would it take if you, you know, could this be in your plans for taking your entrepreneurial dream to the next, maybe I shouldn't say the next level, but another level? Andrew, what kind of a foundation do we have to lay for that?
Yeah, I want to talk about that in just 1 second, if I could. I want to give the listeners a feel for just how big franchising has become, and then give everybody a feel for if you're thinking about growing through franchising, what would you need to do? The statistics just blow me away. We're talking now about a phenomenon in our country that represents over 50% of all retail sales.
Hmm.
So every 52 cents out of every dollar you spend, and in some areas it's much higher than that, could be as high as 70 cents, of your retail dollar is going to be interacting with a franchise business.
Hmm.
So you think about that.
That's surprising.
It employs 11 million people, including many of our teenagers' first mm-hmm. jobs and first job experiences at a franchise business. So people's first, you know, interaction with the workforce is through franchise.
That's what happened to me below those many years ago. I flipped hamburgers for Hardee's.
Absolutely.
In high school.
And if anything happens, Jim, you know that job's still available.
Yeah, they retired my apron, and they said I can come back and get it anytime I want.
That's good. All right, so the listeners, keep supporting Jim, because if not, he's going to be flipping hamburgers.
That's right.
And the other thing that blows me away, we talked a little bit about this before the break, but there's now over 100 different industries that use the franchise model in some way. So people think, oh, franchising, yeah, fast food, auto services.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more to it than that. And, you know, just if you're listening today and you're thinking, well, you know, my industry really doesn't lend itself to franchising, you might want to rethink that.
All right.
So turning to your question, the first thing to do is to think about systemization. One of the keys to a franchise system, franchise business, is developing those training manuals and operations programs and things that the franchisee will need to run its business day to day. You can't be there every day to hold their hand. You've got to build that foundation of manuals and training and systems and instructions and online support so that the franchisees feel like they're never alone, that they've always got something to turn to and something that will help solve their problems. You also don't want them picking up the phone every time an angry customer comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You want to give them the tools they need to deal with customers, both good ones and bad experiences.
Just like we do with our kids, teach them how to fish.
Exactly. That's exactly what's happening. There's a lot of analogies between parenting and franchising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're trying to get the franchisee up to speed as quickly as possible. One of the things I like to say is that in the early days of franchising, the franchisees are like infants. You know, they're relying on you for every single thing. Then they become rebellious teenagers, like I'm experiencing, got two in my house. And then eventually they become adults, and they respect you, and you respect them, and they realize that you're actually pretty smart. And you're trying to get your franchisees to the adult phase of life just as quickly as you can.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And get them past infancy and past teenagehood.
Get them to be into financial success so you can get a raise.
That's right. So one of the things you want to ask yourself is, what's driving my business success, and can it be replicated? And if it can be replicated, then how do I document my success? How do I create the systems for growth that need to be created to allow franchisees to succeed?
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is looking at the business model. You know, does the business model lend itself to franchising? Is there enough profit in the business that will allow not only the franchisee to do well and make money, but for you to levy your royalties and other fees?
Mm-hmm.
Some business models are just too thin margin-wise. There's not enough there for the franchisor and franchisee to do well. And if that's the case, you certainly don't want to put a business model on the street through franchising that's going to wind up either making you broke or making them broke. It's got to be a true win-win from a business model, financial analysis perspective.
Mm-hmm. And you've also, yeah, you've got to be able to deliver enough to add value to that relationship so that the franchisee feels that those royalties they're paying you are worth what they're paying.
Absolutely. And that goes to a third point, which is, you know, are you prepared to continue to invest in research and development, R&D, to continue to make the systems better and stronger so that they really are, you know, continuing to be bedazzled and feeling good about paying those royalties. If you're really a one-shot type business, they're not going to want to continue the relationship.
Which brings me to the question I want to ask you when we come back, and that is, how does our mindset as the entrepreneur creating all this have to change from running our business to running a franchising organization? That's a big deal. We're going to get Andrew to help us with that right after these messages. Tin Till, stay with us. We're visiting with Andrew Sherman, the author of Franchising and Licensing. We're back with a little Robert Cray for you there, a little blues. If blues gets better than Robert Cray, I don't know what it is. I've never heard it. Andrew Sherman likes blues, don't you, Andrew?
You're not going to ask me to do my Robert Cray imitation for the listeners, are you?
Well, only if you play the harmonica, too.
That's right. How blue can you get?
That's right. Andrew Sherman, ladies and gentlemen, he's with McDermott, Will & Emery, which is a law firm all over the place, but his offices happen to be in the Washington, D.C. area. He's the author of a number of books, including Franchising and Licensing, and you can find them wherever fine books are sold, in a couple of places where they're not so fine. Andrew, I was asking you about, it seems to me that you found a business, you make the greatest widget in the world, and you've had great success being a business owner, but that's not the same thing as being a franchisor, is it?
No,
it's a whole different mindset, isn't it?
We've done how many shows together?
A couple hundred.
Yeah, a lot. And I got to tell you, and I'm not saying this just to make sure you have a good weekend, but that's probably one of the most insightful questions you've ever asked me, ever. And I say that
because, and especially since you know I've asked you many insightful questions, right?
Well, you have, but this one's right up there near the top of the insightful question list. And the reason I say that is because you have, in that one question, really identified one of the main reasons that franchises often fail.
Right.
And what happens is somebody, let's just use an easy industry that everybody understands, the restaurant industry. There's a big difference between being a great chef and a great franchisor. One of the things that I say a lot in my public speaking, with all due respect to McDonald's, is great chefs did not build McDonald's.
Right.
Great systems people built McDonald's.
Right.
And if you, the listener, do not have a love, and I mean a love and a passion for putting other people into business and training them and supporting them, and I know I'm hitting a chord because this is what you and I love to do so much,
right,
is helping those entrepreneurs with their visions and dreams. You've got to have that love and passion because you're no longer in the restaurant business.
Yes, exactly.
You're
right.
Now in the putting people into the restaurant business.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to definitely understand that difference. And like I say, Jim, congratulations to you to asking such an insightful question.
Well,
and I hope anybody listening to the show today or online down the road who's thinking about franchising listens carefully to the wisdom behind the question and the answer, because that's the key. The key mm-hmm. is knowing that you're no longer in your underlying business. You're now in the business of teaching others and supporting others to be in that underlying business. And for many entrepreneurs, that's a big transition.
And sometimes it's not something they can do.
That's right. Sometimes they're better at that than they are at running their business,
right,
and sometimes they fall flat on their face.
But the key is to find out which side you're likely to wind up on, whether you're better at running a business or better at helping people be in business following your model. And if you can't be whichever person you can't be, and most not too many people can be both, you need to find people to be that other person.
That's there's your second most insightful question. It's at the top of the hour almost. The point being that if you decide that that's not really your thing, you don't necessarily, but that the business can be franchised, you don't necessarily abandon the idea, but you better go out and hire yourself somebody who really knows how to do this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to, as we move to wrapping up, I mean, the story that I hope everybody knows about McDonald's is that it was not the McDonald's family that franchised that business. They weren't. They were good at making burgers.
Right.
They weren't systems people.
They founded the first one up in Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, it was Ray Kroc who came along and said, I don't know much about making burgers, but I know these people have a great business system.
Right.
And I know how to build business systems and how to market them, and that's how that got started.
He never was invested in the hamburger paradigm, was he?
No, he was invested in the training and support and growth paradigm, and that ended up making him a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, it's just a great, you know, there's lots more to say on this topic.
Andrew, I want you to come back, because what I want to do the next time is I want to bore down into some of the details of what are some of the steps of being a franchisor.
And, exactly. And one of the things that we haven't talked about this morning, we'll have to save for a future show, is, of course, all of the legal and regulatory aspects.
Right. Right.
Which there's a big part of the franchising game.
Which I know you love very much. And
I sure do.
Thank you, Andrew. Good job today.
Thank you. Have a great
weekend,
everybody.
Andrew Sherman, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Franchising.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.